Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and tell him this is your day. Oh, glory. How many of y'all know we're in the last days? How many of y'all know we're in the last minutes? Things are pressing. The press, there's so much pressing right now. Do you know that it's very, very possible? Very possible. I just want you to think of this for a moment. Do you know that how very possible it is this is our last president? Do you know how very possible it is this is the last pope? Thank God. Do you realize how close we are? It is so close, it's incredible. That's why darkness is coming, it's oozing out of everywhere. It's like black salve that's just oozing out of everywhere. It's dripping. You know, I was taken in a spirit one day in a dream, and I probably shared this with you, and I was riding on a horse in the ocean. And I was riding on a horse in the ocean. This is when one of our ships had been hit by a raft, a boat from Yemen that was explosive. It was a Navy ship. And the side of it blew off. And before it happened, I saw this about 2 weeks before it happened. And a horse brought me over to the ship, and I knew that he was leading me. And he came over and started smashing into the ship to cover the hole because it was wide open. And once he covered the hole and closed it up, he bent the steel. Don't ask me how. It was, you know. I didn't feel a thing. I kept thinking, this is going to hurt. And I didn't feel a thing. But every time he'd hit that, boom, there was such power. Boom, boom. They would bend back. It would bend back. It would bend back to where the hole was completely shut. Then the horse took off again. And as the horse took off, the voice of the Lord came and he said, "Guy, will you die for me?" And I said, "Yes, Lord." And when I said yes, the horse took off and went through between two destroyers. And I was headed toward the Middle East. I could see it, and it began to rain oil. It was black petroleum, nasty. You could smell it. And it was hitting me. I began to suffocate because it was raining so much blackness. And I woke up. I didn't understand the fullness of the dream, but I knew that one of the things the Lord was asking is, would I willing to die for him? And one of the things he's asking his people, will they die for him? The other thing is, he said darkness was going to begin to suffocate the world. And it was going to start in the Middle East. And things are happening right now. From that point on, we've had all kinds of troubles. Actually, from areas of, there's been false treaties and agreements that have been signed behind closed doors that have actually sold out this country. Israel's been sold out, and many other countries have been sold out people do not even know about. And I've asked the Lord, why? And everything that keeps coming to me is, be ready. I'm coming, and don't lose focus, because this is not your home. This is not your home. See, every one of us has a mission. We've been sent into this realm on a mission, and we want to fulfill that mission so we can get home. We've been lied to, deceived, tripped up, tricked. We've been abused, molested, rejected, and beaten by darkness since we've been on this earth. The persecution to believers is phenomenal. We don't see it as much, but we're seeing it more and more in this country. But to other parts of the country, they are being burned to death, sawed in half, beheaded, and tortured in a tremendous way. We just got back from Haiti, and the earthquake there that devastated so much was phenomenal to us. Every day, that's all they're trying to do is get a meal. They live to get a meal for that day. But they are the most vibrant people, joyful people, and grateful people. I loved it there. In the area there where everybody was out. I mean, there were thousands of people on the street. I mean, you talk about a country of entrepreneurship, and they don't need a license. And the government doesn't collect taxes from them. Of course, it doesn't provide anything for them either. You know, there are so many times that we want to do something, but we're not willing to wait to know what to do. And one of the things that the Spirit shared with me says, my people do not wait on the truth. They wait on everything else but the truth. They'll wait in lines for food stamps. They'll wait in line for medication. They'll wait in line to get something for them, but they don't wait on the truth. They wait in line to fulfill their flesh. They wait in line for everything else. They seek more after jobs and money than they do my presence. Jobs don't free us. Money doesn't free us. But his presence does. And I'm going to share with you that there's a fine line in this area where we are walking in truth and walking in deception. I can tell you that that's all I hear every time I look at something long term. Don't go there, guy. There's nothing long term left. Everything is short term now. Everything is short term. Would you turn to Psalm 40? Hallelujah. We are on a collision course. There's a tremendous collision course that is going to occur. And this collision course is going to be between light and darkness. And if you're in a gray area, that's not light. Has everybody got it? If you're in the gray area, that is not light. You'll be taken out just like darkness will be. Psalm 40. Is everybody there? Is everybody okay? Yeah. Psalm 40, verse 1. Let's speak it together. I did what? I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me. Why? Because I what? Waited patiently. This word patiently means endured. Let me tell you something. One of the things that the enemy doesn't want you to do is to wait on the truth. He wants to push you so you receive deception, so that you will compromise. See, the devil pushes, the spirit leads. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he what? He heard my cry. He heard me. You know what? You know why he heard him? Because he knew. He waited for some kind of response. See, when people don't hear from God, they react. When they hear from God, they respond. There's a difference. If you're willing to wait on the truth, I'm telling you, you'll respond to the things of God. But if you're not willing to wait on the truth, you will react according to your feelings and your past experiences and your false desires. Verse 2. He also brought me what? Up out of the horrible clay. Now, did he get down and pick him up? No. What did he do? He released truth to him to escape. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay. And what did he do? He set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. Again, he didn't come down and pick him up. He released to him truth. When he released to him truth, he responded to the truth and caused a rescue. Verse 3. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Why? Because when you're free, when you're truly free, there's no management involved. You're free. When you're free, there's a relationship with the Lord. And you know that the only thing that's going to maintain your freedom is your relationship. And that relationship means his presence. Because when you truly have a relationship, there's a presence. Is everybody okay? Isaiah 25. Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah 25 and verse 6. Let's read it together. And in this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, a well-refined wines on the lees. And he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people. In other words, the veil. There is a veil that's cast over all people of the earth. We have a teaching called the spirit of veil. And what it does is it blinds individuals from knowing the truth. And even if you're a believer, the enemy's always trying to put back on that veil so that you walk out of truth, don't wait for truth, but go back into deception. Look at this. And the what? And the veil that is spread over what? All nations. That's that blindness veil. Verse 8. He will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Verse 9. And it will be said in that day, Behold, this is our God. We have what? Waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. In other words, they waited for him. They waited for truth. Waiting on truth should be an essential part of a believer. Again, too many believers do not wait on truth. And you know, we're coming here and getting truth. That's wonderful. But you must get your truth from God yourself also. You can't wait to just come to church. What are you going to do the rest of the week? Walk around like an idiot? Amen? Well, I'll wait for Sunday to get truth or Tuesday for Bible study. That ain't enough. Proverbs 8. But if you're not getting it on yourself, make sure you get to church, okay? Proverbs 8 and verse 32. 8. Hallelujah. Proverbs 8, 32. Let's speak it together. Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates. What's he doing? Waiting at the post of my door. In other words, he's waiting and watching. What's he waiting for? Truth. He's waiting for truth. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. And he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Waiting on the truth. You know, as I'm waiting on the truth, and I hear what the Spirit says, he always gives me a confirmation of what he told me. Something occurs, something, and it's unexpected. Sometimes strangest things happen, where it's like, man, that's it. Thank you, Lord. I know exactly what's what. But see, if you're not sensitive enough to these things, you will miss it. That's why it is important about fellowship. That's why the word says, do not forsake assembly, because in the corporate worship, there's a presence of God that sustains you to the next time we gather together. And in that presence of God, it makes you more sensitive, because if God's speaking from his presence, the more presence is on you, the easier it is to hear. That's just plain common sense. So if the enemy's keeping you away from the presence of God, he knows you can't hear him correctly. And he'll keep feeding you by how you feel. He'll keep feeding you by, you'll be led by every circumstance of your life and blame God why you don't have victory. And there's times when we feel like we don't have victory. There's times when I feel like I don't have victory. I may have victory in my own personal life, but I want more victory. I want others to have victory. I want to see mighty powerful things of God manifest. But there's got to be a desire. There's got to be a hunger for this. There's got to be an expectation that is beyond your common sense and natural understanding. The church in America is dead, and it needs to be revived and come alive. Let me tell you something. I was in Haiti, and these people that had nothing worshipped the Lord. Outside, in the heat, I saw 300 or 400 people worshiping the Lord, and I walked by, and I had to stop. I had my daughter with me. And the presence of God hit me. I fell to my knees and wept. And I said, Lord, why? Why is this not in America? And he said, because I'm all they have. I thought, why isn't it there? We're not that way. Because we've been deceived and deluded, compromised, complacent and grumbling and complaining because we don't have the nice car, the nice house, the family. The dreams of carnality, those don't get you in heaven. Amen? It's doing the will of God. As believers of Jesus Christ and the family of Christ, we are brothers and sisters according to those who do the will of God. Only those who do the will of God enter the kingdom of God. Not to those who just say, I believe in Jesus. Because if you believe in Jesus, you follow him. And if you believe in him, you do his will. Amen? Everybody okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Let's speak it together. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were what? Enriched in everything by him in all utterance, in all what? Knowledge, or what we call truth. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short of no gift, eagerly what? Waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Eagerly waiting. In other words, you are expecting. Eagerly waiting means not only you're waiting, you're pressing in, you're waiting on the truth, but you're expecting it. You're not just praying and walking away with no expectation. That is not prayer. You might as well write a letter to Santa Claus. Well, God hasn't answered my prayer. You know, so many people pray and walk away and expect God to answer their prayer, and he does sometimes, but because they're dull, they miss it. Or the veils are coming back on, they miss it. So that you've come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is everybody okay? Eagerly waiting for the what? Revelation. Eagerly waiting for the revelation. Now let me share with you about revelation, because revelation is the release of truth. I'm going to say it again. Revelation is the release of truth. When you get revelation, there's a release of truth. He is known as the spirit of revelation. He is also an angel that will come and release it, and you may not see him. He's the angel of revelation who appeared to John when he wrote the book of Revelation. Is everybody all right? Eagerly waiting. You're eagerly waiting for the release of the revelation, which is truth. So you're waiting on truth so that the angel of revelation or the spirit of revelation comes and releases it to you. It can be released by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, but it comes by the spirit of revelation. In Psalm 25. In verse 1, Psalm 25, verse 1, let's speak it together. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Because what are they waiting for? Truth, which is going to be released by revelation. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths and what? Lead me in your truth and teach me. What was he waiting on? Truth. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. So he's expecting because he prayed. Now listen, you can't expect if you don't pray. You can't expect. You just go about your business and assume. I'm going to say that again. You go about your business and assume that God is going to do whatever and whatever. Nah, don't work that way. You pray, you make contact, you put your supplications, you do your warfare, but without making contact, there's no prayer. And when there's contact, there's expectation. And now you're waiting on truth all day long. Okay, what's going to happen? You're sensitive. Verse 6. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth. In other words, he's repentant, isn't he? Nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Lord, forgive me for the stupid things I've done. Let me remind you of my goofy sins while I'm waiting on you. And those who wait on him will not be ashamed. Why? Listen, if you get truth and do it, you will never be ashamed. Psalm 96. In verse 11. Let's start at 10. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? 96:10. Say among the nations, the what? The Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. For he is what? For he is what? For he is what? Coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. You know how many people claim to be a believer and don't even read the Bible? How could they know the truth then? It's impossible. Oh, I just believe in Jesus. Well, if you believe Jesus, you'd not only follow Jesus, but you'd read his word. Because when he shows up and you don't know the truth and you're not in position, he says, hi, then bye. Oh. Proverbs 12. In verse 15, you know, he is coming. I'm going to tell you again, he is coming. Don't be deceived. Don't be tricked. And don't be fooled. He is coming. We are the generation of his return. I'm telling you, it is very, very important that we grab hold of this because events are about to be unfolded in a mighty way. He is coming. Verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness, deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes what? Health. The truthful lips shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. Hallelujah. Truthful lips. Truthful lips. You know, God desires truth in our inward parts. In 1 Peter chapter 1, waiting on the truth. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Let's speak it together. Since you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a what? Pure heart. Look, truth always will produce a pure heart. Where there's deception, it produces a hardened heart. Truth always produces submission and obedience. Deception promotes rebellion. So everybody got it. Verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but what? Incorruptible. Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of a man is as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever, and the word is truth, isn't it? Now this is the word which was by the gospel, which was preached to you. In Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 15, waiting on the truth, which is released by revelation. So that means you must seek. If you seek the truth, while you're waiting on the truth, you're enduring, right? When the truth is released, you have victory. Because there is nothing that can overcome truth. Truth overcomes everything. There's victory in truth. But I can tell you there's failure and deception. Verse 15, did I say that? Good. Let's speak it. Therefore, I also, after I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He was interceding for them. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation in the knowledge of him, and that your eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Again, his desire was intercession, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would be released to them. Why? As they wait on truth. Waiting on the truth. In the book of Daniel, chapter 10. Verse 10, Daniel 10:10, says, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you. Understand the words that I speak to you. And stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand. In other words, from the first moment you are setting your heart to understand and waiting on truth. And what? And humbled yourself. Repented. Made sure that there was a cleansing of a cleansing. He was repenting for his sins. He was cleansing the way for the spirit of revelation to come and release truth to him. See, let me share something with you. Until there's repentance, if the temple is not cleansed, he passes by. I'm going to say that again. If the temple is not cleansed, he passes by. And I'll tell you who follows him. A spirit of compromise and familiar. A familiar spirit will follow the spirit of revelation. And then he'll tell you deception. And it will feel good for the moment because it's fulfilling your desire of the flesh, but it causes a stumbling later. It causes bondage because truth always frees. Is everybody all right? Did you get that? Again, he said, now this is the angel of the Lord who is bringing revelation. He's come to release truth. The spirit of revelation is coming to release truth to Daniel. And he said, look it, the moment you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself, the moment you cleansed yourself, the moment you repented and you truly set your heart towards the spirit of revelation was sent to you to release truth. Again, many people pray. There's people who are praying but not humbling and repentant. They're still justifying their unforgiveness. They're still justifying their touching of unclean things. They're still justifying all of these things. And the angel of revelation will pass them by every time. Until that person truly humbles himself and repents. Is everybody all right? Hallelujah. Verse 12 again, and he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Wouldn't you like the angel of the Lord to come because of your words? Yes. Romans chapter 1. That's the key, isn't it? As you're waiting on the truth, the key is to humble yourself and set your heart to understand. You know, of so much right now, because of all the things that are going on, there's a lot of assumption going on. There's a lot of people not waiting for anything. In fact, there are people that are waiting to find out what to do. There are people walking around going, I don't know what to do. I know something's getting ready to happen. I don't know what to do. People ask me, what are you going to do about this? I may not know, but I will once the truth has been released. See, but if you have an expectation that you will know what to do, hello? I will know. Why? Because if you know that you're going to know, that means because in your relationship with the Lord, that he's going to release to you the truth. But if you have a long-distance relationship with the Lord, you're uncertain. You're uncertain. You're going to just follow the crowd, hopefully. But God is desiring something from us now. Everybody should come in here with revelation. Everybody should come in here with encouragement, with a testimony. Everybody should come in here with another person. See, when you get your eyes off yourself, you'll start looking out to reach out. This is a teaching ministry. It's a ministry of truth. Doesn't mean we don't make mistakes, because we sure do. But we're quick to repent. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. Is everybody there? In verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for the Jew who believes, for the Jew first, or for anyone who believes, for the Jew first and for also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. In other words, they'll live by truth because of what they see. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in righteousness. Is the truth being suppressed now in this country? Oh my God. Come on, you've seen the oozing of darkness dripping from the media. They can't even speak correctly. Everything they speak is nothing but black salve. There's only a few of them. In fact, if you've been watching the news, when they were doing the coverage of the court case of the guy that killed all the babies, the news wasn't there except for a couple. But all the main media stream news, only one was there that was right. Fox News was the only one there. All the other news wouldn't cover it. The day that the administration got caught lying about Benghazi, and everything was brought up, and I was watching. I was watching it on the news, and I said, "You know, I'm going to check and see if anyone else is covering it." Nobody else was covering it. No one. They were talking about the three girls that got rescued, praise God. They were talking about all kinds of other things, but nobody was following and exposing the cover-up of this administration, which is the most evil, wicked administration we've ever had in our life. And the reason for that is because Satan, the Antichrist, one of the Antichrist spirits, is running that administration. Why? Because everything is pushed towards the Antichrist to enter in. He is here in this world already. The false prophet is getting prepared. The Antichrist is getting prepared. The beast is getting prepared. Everyone is getting prepared. Everything is being pushed to dictatorship. One world order, one world economy, and one religion. And if we don't see that, we are very blinded and set up for a trap. Many people will take that mark. Let me tell you, the Antichrist will come and the false prophet will come as Jesus Christ. And they will build a temple for him. And he will do signs and wonders proclaiming to be Jesus Christ until he enters that temple. People will follow him, take the mark, because they'll believe he's God. But because they don't have the spirit of truth, when they accept that mark, they are damned to hell for the rest of their lives. And there will be many people who claim to know Jesus will take that mark. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are not made, that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and in their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like a corruptible man, birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their own bodies among themselves. Who exchanged the what? The truth of God for the lie. They were willing to exchange the truth of God for the lie. People are willing to exchange the truth of God for money, food. Anybody remember the story with Esau? Hello? Then he gave up his birthright for what? Food. Gave it away for a beef stew with lentils. Willing to exchange the truth for a lie. It's happening now. The word tells us in the latter days, many will fall from the faith. My brothers and sisters, it's already happening. We're not waiting for the falling away to start. It already started. Many will fall from the faith, taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. There's all kinds of religions out there. Many proclaim to be Christian. But now we're finding that they're ordaining homosexuals. Sheesh. I don't know what Bible they're reading. They must have tore out that whole part. that no homosexual enter the kingdom of God, that it's an abomination of God. Hello? In other words, they take their own doctrine now. They just read what they want to read. They don't want to read the truth. Romans chapter 2, while we're here. Verse 1. Therefore, you are excusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourselves. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to the truth against those who practice such things. Or do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? It's amazing in how many of these individuals are claiming themselves revies, reverends, reverend such and such in the media. He's got a lot of offspring on the side after he's been married for a while. And they promote, listen, if there is a preacher or any person of God who proclaims to be a believer that promotes same-sex marriage and abortion, they're not a believer. Or if they approve of it and claim to be a believer, they're not a believer. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? See, look, again, he says this. Verse 3, do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment? In other words, if you're approving of those things, you will be judged the same way that one is. In John chapter 8, oh, hallelujah, waiting on the truth, I think it's quite important, isn't it? You didn't come to hear some Mother's Day thing, did you? For all you mothers out there. But thank God for mothers. I wouldn't have been here if I didn't have one. And neither would you. Romans 8:31. John 8:31. No more Roman. We're right to the truth. John 8:31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free, man. See, knowing the truth, if you know something, you practice it, isn't it? If you know how to hit the baseball, you practice it. If you want to hit the tennis racket, the tennis ball, you practice it. You may miss it quite a few times, but you're still practicing it. We practice truth because we believe our trust is in the truth, and the truth is Jesus. Verse 33, they answered, and we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? And Jesus said, then most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my words have no place in you. So they're going to try to kill you because there's no place. The word of God is not in them, or they rejected it. I speak what I have seen with my Father. That's called faith. And you do what you have seen with your Father. Uh-oh. Now he's talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious dudes. They answered to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do what the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. And I think that is pretty powerful. I mean, Jesus called it right out, boom. No playing games. Your father's the devil. Can you imagine saying that right now? I can say it right now. Obama, your father is the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. Because there's no truth in you. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. Darkness. Black ooze comes out of his mouth. For he is a liar and the father of it. And anyone who cannot see that is deceived. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear because you are not of God. That's simple. Amen? That's the way it is. Anyone that is not walking according to the truth is not of God. If they can't hear truth and constantly reject it, they're not of the Lord. But I've been a believer 30 years. Well, you're not walking in truth. When's the last time you humbled yourself and cried out to God? When's the last time your heart has been broken before Him to say, I want to know you more? That's what Moses' cry was. God appeared to Moses, showed him His glory, and Moses still said, I want to know your glory. I want to know who you are. We're to be content in all things, but want more. More of Him. In Revelation chapter 1, we're almost done. Woohoo! Is everybody okay? Waiting on the truth. Revelation chapter 1, verse something. Verse 1. Let's speak it together. Are you ready for this? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to what? Show his servants. What's he going to show them? Things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. In other words, the spirit of revelation will come and release truth as we're waiting on truth. And he will tell us things to come and prepare us for what's coming. This is why we gather together. So we're not deceived when the world starts getting crazy. When believers start running around like their head's been cut off. Because they never had the right head on. They've turned their head to religion instead of Christ. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. For the time is now. It's near. 1 Peter chapter 1. And then one more meal, one more piece of food. Waiting on the truth. When truth is released, you will respond. You will not react. You know, people that react when you speak the truth is because they reject it. Justify reason and blame. Justify reason and blame. You know, when Adam and Eve got caught stealing from the tree, when they ate of the fruit of the tree, the knowledge of good and evil, remember, the Lord said to Adam, well, first of all, he went to the serpent. I mean, he went to Adam. He said, what happened? She did it. He goes to Eve. He did it. The serpent did it. Everyone blamed everyone else. Nobody was willing to take their own responsibility. And 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore what? Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And we're going to close at 1 John 4. Gird up your loins with what? Truth. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Let's speak it. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son in propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been made perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Spirit of truth. Again, we are waiting on the truth. Always waiting on the truth. Always in expectation of the truth. But you can't be expecting if you haven't prayed first. You can't be expecting if you haven't prayed. And if you're not expecting truth, then you're walking in assumption and you're hoping God's going to do something. Is everybody okay? Again, we are at a critical time right now. Things are unfolding and unveiling. We must know the truth, walk in the truth, wait on the truth, and declare the truth to all come around, and especially kick butt on those demons that try to tell you lies and deception. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We forgive and bless those who persecute us, use us, and speak against us, and don't understand us, and steal from us, and whatever they want to do to promote darkness. Lord, we stand on the truth. We stand in your light and in your love. And we ask you continue to pour out your Spirit here and bring revival. Our hope, our strength, and our life is in you. Let this seed be protected by the blood and let it grow and bear fruit for your glory. I want to thank all the listeners and everyone that's watching today. And I encourage you to learn more. Go to theeternallibrary.org. Jesus said, come and learn from me. That means learn truth. Truth. Freedom is learned. It's important that we know truth these days, because there's a lot of false truth and a lot of false witnesses out there. There's a lot of false Christs and a lot of false believers. They have sheep clothing, but inwardly they are wolves. So be careful, use wisdom, and wait on the truth in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.